Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Some people say that our world today has no more heroes or heroines that people can model their lives after and their conduct after. But if we stop and think for a little while, especially we believers in our God, we actually don't have to go too far to look for heroes and heroines that we can model our lives after it and consider at least as examples of faith for our lives. And so many of them are the people to whom God brings our attention in His Word, the Bible. The people chosen by God share many similarities with you and with me. They were not superhuman. They were simply ordinary individuals, like you and me, very human, both saint through faith in God's promised Savior and sinner still at the same time, the people blessed by God with special opportunities. What we can especially note about them is their connection to God, their reliance on the good and gracious God, who is able to work in them and through them for His glory and for the good of others. Sarah, the wife of Abraham, the patriarch, the forefather of the Israelite nation, is just such a heroine, a hero of faith for us to model. One of those people that God specially chose to serve Him in a unique way. And today we get a special glimpse into the life of this woman of God, a wife, mother, and above all, one of God's unique people. And at the age when most people today would probably be entering their retirement, Sarah was involved in a major life transition, a major move. God's initial call to Abraham made it necessary for Abraham and Sarah to leave their hometown, their comfortable home, their family and friends, and to set out on a bold new adventure, because God had said to them, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." And Sarah went with Abraham, her spouse, her partner in life, in the task that God had sent him to do. Now, those of you who have gone through moves, especially relatively distant geographic moves in your life, can attest that those kinds of moves are not easy. If you've gone through that kind of move, you know what a challenge it is, not only to pack up all your stuff and move it to a different place. That's difficult enough, even in a place that's not too far away from the place you're moving from. But then especially also if it's some distance, you have to say some sometimes rather painful goodbyes to friends and perhaps family members, to familiar places and people that you know and love. It can be very traumatic. Those kinds of major life changes can cause significant disruptions in a person's life. It's difficult to pack up everything from one place and move to another and to try to reestablish your home and your life in that new place. But whenever I have moved, I've always known where I was moving to and exactly or pretty well what new position I would be taking. But Sarah and Abraham didn't know any of those details about the move that God had called them to make. Abraham simply informed Sarah that God had told him to move to a new land, a place that God hadn't even told them yet where it was going to be, that God was going to tell them to go, an area that they had never been to before, that they had never seen before. They had no family there, no friends there. There was no one to greet them, to welcome them when they arrived, to help them unpack and settle in. Sarah went with Abraham. God's command to Abraham had been a command for her also. In the New Testament, the Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, identifies Sarah as a God-fearing woman, that her faith was demonstrated in her relationship, her faithfulness to her husband. And as we review the entire history of Sarah and Abraham, it's very clear that Sarah worked very hard to maintain and strengthen her relationship with her husband, even through some very difficult and trying times, some difficulties that in fact were caused by Abraham's own weakness of faith, his doubting God's protection and promise. But nowhere does the Bible suggest that through all the moves, through all the changes and challenges, the disappointments and heartaches, that Sarah ever had a thought pass through her mind where she just wanted to pack up and go back to her parents' home to file for divorce or to do so many of the other things that seem to be so common in our world today when people are unhappy or when their relationship is having difficult times. Sarah's commitment to her marriage to Abraham is an excellent example for us today. We seem to be so quick, so often, to bail out on relationships. When the going gets rough and the times get uncomfortable, we often decide that it's time to get out rather than to see the issue through. Perhaps you've been to or heard some weddings where the couples wrote their own marriage vows, and instead of including those traditional phrases, for better or worse, till death do us part, in their place perhaps they include phrases like, as long as love exists between us, or as long as we are a good fit for each other. But where is the commitment in that? No marriage can exist without a commitment that includes love, forgiveness, and a desire to see the marriage maintained and improved even through difficult and challenging times. And while the traditional marriage vows as we know them today were most likely not used by Abraham and Sarah when they were married, yet Sarah's conduct shows that she did marry Abraham for better or worse. She was committed to the marriage bond between them, recognizing that their union was under God's blessing. Sarah's apparent understanding that her marriage was under God's good direction and blessing motivated her behavior. We modern people also need to recognize that our family relationships have also been ordained by God. When a God-fearing Christian couple pledges their marriage vows before God, they're not just making a commitment to each other, they're also making a commitment to God, knowing that God has promised to bless such commitments. And while we admire Sarah for her qualities as a spouse and as a servant of her Lord, her most admirable quality is her faith in God. In fact, that faith permeated her life and her service. It provided motivation for her to wait patiently until the Lord would fulfill his promise to her and to Abraham. Sarah's faith was her source of strength as she met all the challenges of their move to an unknown land. Her faith convinced her, reassured her, that God was in the midst of everything that was happening, that he was guiding it and blessing them through it all. They weren't moving simply for no reason at all. No, God himself had directed them to move, and God would indeed be with them as he had promised. And the relationship of Abraham and Sarah was cemented together by their common relationship with God, who loved them and who brought them to a new place. The Lord had revealed to them that he is a caring and concerned father who would be faithful to them in all of his promises that he had made. Through the examples of Sarah and countless other heroes and heroines of the Bible, that same gracious God reinforces for you and me the ageless truth that he is faithful to all of his promises. He is full of compassion and eternally faithful to his commitments to his people. Sarah's faith understood God's faithfulness. And we can also be confident that God is also in the midst of our daily lives, caring, loving, forgiving, sustaining, and guarding and keeping and protecting us. God demonstrates his love and care for us in the fulfillment of the greatest promise that he has made to us, his promise that a Savior would come to save all people of the world from their sins. And that promise, of course, was fulfilled when God sent his Son, Jesus. Jesus himself, the eternal, all-powerful Son of God, who nevertheless willingly limited himself to human flesh and blood, fully reliant on his parents to care for him as a helpless little baby, and then who submitted to mockery, to unjust arrest and trial and conviction and ultimately death, all for our benefit. He came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, to reestablish our relationship with our Heavenly Father by taking away all of our sins that had been a barrier between us and God in our relationship. That promise from God finds its heart in Jesus Christ as it is reinforced for us as we sojourn and travel through this life, through life on this earth, as strangers, as foreigners, with heaven as our true home, walking and striving persistently toward that perfect eternal future with the grace and the strength that God provides. God spoke directly to Abraham with his word of promise. Today, God speaks to us through the words of the prophets in the Old Testament, the apostles in the New Testament of the Bible. He brings the promise through those prophets and apostles in his word that he is with us always, that he will never leave us or forsake us. And just as the Lord miraculously sat at Abraham's table to eat with him and to reinforce for him the promise of many offspring and ultimately of a Savior, the Savior of the whole world who would come from his offspring, so also the Lord calls us today as well to his table, to the sacrament of the body and blood of his Son Jesus, where we are invited to receive the flesh and blood of Jesus for the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins, the assurance that we are his forgiven people who through faith are held in his almighty and caring hands for all eternity. Sarah trusted the faithfulness of God, and it motivated her to serve him as she served others. We also can rely on God's faithfulness, and that can motivate us in our marriages, in our relationships with others, in the way we serve one another, and in the way that we serve our God. But before we make Sarah sound superhuman, we need to recall that she did have her moments of weakness and doubt, as we read about one of those times in our reading from Genesis chapter 18 this morning. Times also when she traded trust in God and God's promise and his plan for manipulation, for her own schemings and plottings that were not totally in line with God's will. Moments when her faith was more centered on her own resources than on God, who had clearly revealed himself to her and to Abraham. Just like us, she had her faults as well. But to recognize that such a heroine of faith had faults should be also an encouragement to us today as well. Sarah was sinful, just as we are sinful. And yet she still had the confidence in God that made it possible for her to follow his will for her life. She was not superhuman in her faith. She was just a person who trusted in God, and the God who had brought her to that point in life and who had led her through so many other challenges and struggles already. She experienced frustrations, doubts, and worries that reflected the struggles of her life, just as we do. At times, perhaps, she may even have wondered why she ever married Abraham or how they ever got into all the things that they did. But God did not give up on her, nor does he give up on us. Sarah's faith showed that God was active in her life. And our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ shows that God is also active in our lives. We certainly would have no knowledge of our Savior if God had not opened up our sin-darkened hearts and brought us the knowledge of all that he has done for us in his amazing love through Jesus. God did not reject Sarah because of her sins. He continued in his grace to provide for her and to use her for his good purpose. And so it is with each one of us. Although God could justly reject us and condemn us to hell, by his grace, he does not. Rather, he continues to speak to us through his means of grace, through his word and his sacraments, so that our faith might see that he is faithful to his promises, and he can work in us things that are to his glory and for the good of the people that he has placed around us in our lives. Faith in God and in his Son Jesus shows that God is at work in us. It shows that God has made us his own and that he has chosen us to reflect more clearly his presence in our lives. That presence should be seen in all of our earthly dealings and relationships. God was in Sarah's life, and that is seen in her willingness to yield to his will. As we read, for a moment she doubted the word of God that she would have a child in her old age when she was 89 years old, become pregnant, and give birth at age 90. But when the Lord quietly reminded her that with God nothing is impossible, then her faith laid hold of that promise by God's grace. By the power of the Holy Spirit, she yielded herself then to God's will. God's Holy Spirit also reminds us in our daily lives that with God, nothing is impossible. When we face the challenges of life, challenges perhaps of marriage and family, when it seems that arguments and rifts between us and a loved one simply cannot be solved, let's recall at those moments especially that with God, nothing is impossible. He has forgiven us and restored us in his grace. And that grace can fill us with love and forgiveness for those that God has placed around us in our lives. By the power of his Holy Spirit working and alive in us, many things can be done in us and through us that make us servant helpers of our Lord today in our world. Sarah believed. Yes, for a moment she laughed, not in mockery, but in disbelief. How could a 90-year-old woman have a baby? It contradicts everything we know from experience and nature. And if we were in her place, we would probably have laughed as well, or worse. We would possibly have doubted even more than she did. But she heard the word of the Lord. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And from that point on, there is no record that Sarah ever again argued or questioned in any way that she would soon bear a son to be named Isaac. Nor is it suggested that she would ever again doubt God's will or his promise, that she would participate in a miraculous birth that would result not just in a blessing for her and for Abraham in their old age to have a child of their own, but ultimately would result in a blessing for all people of the whole world, because from her son, from her descendants, a great nation would rise up, a nation from which ultimately would come the Savior of the entire world. Sarah believed God's promise. Abraham believed. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 4 cites the faith of Abraham and God's promise as an example for each of us. He writes, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Sarah believed God, and it was credited to her as righteousness. And that righteousness, she submitted her will to God. From her womb would come a great nation out of which the Savior would rise up to redeem the whole world from its sins. through her descendants, all humanity would be blessed. You and I have been blessed through Sarah's willingness to serve the Lord in faith. And in the same way, you and I also are called to serve. There's no way for us to measure what blessing that service can be for the people who are around us in our lives and for the generations who will come after us. Simple, lowly, frail people that we are, God nevertheless can use us to accomplish great things in His name and for the good of His kingdom. Sarah's faith, her faith in God, her unwavering faith in God's promise after God reminded her that He is all-powerful, that He can do all things, her faith in God's almighty word gave her the confidence to serve God in the midst of all the many troubles of her life. Our faith in our gracious God need do no less for us. It is God's gift to us, a testimony of His presence in our lives. And so may we, in the faith that is able to see Jesus as our Lord and Savior, may we seek to serve our God so that others might see in us His great love and faithfulness. And through faith in Jesus, have the same hope of a perfect eternal future with God in heaven as we do, that sustains and bears us up throughout our lives. Amen.